Good evening, everyone. Alex, could you lead us in a pledge?
I can.
You can? Okay. Brent? Go ahead, Leo. I'm sorry.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record show that all the directors are present. Steve, I don't understand this first, the approval of the agenda. What is that?
Okay.
This is our first regular meeting.
Correct. So. Okay, so for regular meetings, the board has the ability to add items onto the agenda of a regular board meeting,
okay,
because you've got a 72-hour period deadline in which to post and circulate your agenda. So you can add items onto the agenda under the Brown Act if both the two elements are present, that there's a need for immediate action, and that need arose after the agenda was posted. So what this is a placeholder in case staff is recommending that there be in addition to the agenda. I'm not aware of any need to add.
We have two things. Underneath the minutes, that long list of minutes?
Yeah.
Underneath the long list of minutes, we need to add July 3rd, because we have the minutes for that, but we need to take off July 11th, 18th, and 31st. They're either incomplete or we just don't have them. And we'll have those for the next meeting. So add July 3rd, and then take off July 11th, 18th, and 31st.
Okay. Do we need a, Steve, we need a motion for that? Or?
Yes. So the motion would be to approve the agenda as suggested by staff, so you'll need a motion to second.
Okay. Do I have a motion to?
I motion to approve the agenda as amended by our general manager.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All opposed? All right. Motion carries. The agenda is amended. Okay. Public comments? Sorry, John.
No, I would like to add to the agenda. I notice that we have our supervisor's representative here from San Bernardino County, plus we have a sheriff present. I was wondering if they want to or would like to make reports prior to the meeting, seeing how they've taken the time out of their day to be here.
Okay. Can we just do the public comments?
Okay. Yeah, that would be my suggestion.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Did who's here from the Sheriff's Department? I'm sorry.
Sergeant Robert McCarty.
Oh, okay. Can you come to the mic and?
Sure.
If you have any.
Good evening.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Sergeant Robert McCarty, and I'm brand new up here to the Phelan Redwood area.
Can you bring the mic up a little bit?
So. Probably not maybe somebody might nobody else will be able to see it,
and
I'll talk down here.
Okay.
Or you can pull it up. There you go.
There we go. Hi, I'm Sergeant Robert Vicari. I'm new to the Phelan Wrightwood area. This is actually my second week up here. Here in the Wrightwood area, we had 118 calls for service. There were 9 reports drawn. And there was one arrest made. The arrest was made for a public intoxication. There's a lot of questions about the vandalism that you guys had over here on the side of the white building and then right over here at the bank.
Right.
I Googled what it was. It's kind of unusual because like the words were spelled when they used a comma, so that kind of caught me as unusual. Usually they're writing, "I came from Adelanto." That's not what you read over in Adelanto. So it's a lyric from a song from Kanye West, just in case you're curious.
Okay.
We don't have any leads. Molly Leichter's working the investigation. She was checking for video surveillance in the area, and as of right now, we don't have any leads other than it's spray paint. It's a music lyric from Kanye West. Both of them seem to be related,
and
we don't have any video or anything else.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
But if somebody was humming that tune, you might have suspects.
I don't know. I don't know if you can hum that tune. Just to make sure.
Yeah.
Did you look it up? Did you listen to it?
There's no tune.
Don't waste your time. It's not even worth the 4 minutes of your life that you're going to lose.
All right. Thank you.
There's one other outbuilding over here that got graffitied as well. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't. I just saw the white building over here.
There's one behind the Park Place.
Yeah, the one over off of Park and Apple? Or
Park Place Realty. It's on...
She was trying to describe to me where it was. Okay. I couldn't find it.
It's an outbuilding in between the real estate office and the old Mountaineer building. There's a little outbuilding right there that's got POO on it. Something.
That's and we... Are you familiar with the Urban Dictionary? We Urban Dictionary that. That's more of a skater term.
Okay.
So this is the music lyric, and that's more of a term used by skaters.
So that's a different person.
I didn't see that one. I don't know if it was red spray paint.
No, it wasn't. It was gray.
Gray or white, yeah. Could be somebody different, but that's more that term, because Molly already, Urban Dictionary, that to figure out what it was, and that seemed that was more of a term used by skaters.
Okay. Thank you.
You have any questions for me?
Welcome to Wrightwood.
Yeah, welcome to Wrightwood.
Everybody, I drove around trying to find some of this, and everybody waved. It's very nice.
They came from Mount Blanco, too.
Well, they just don't use so many fingers.
What people keep them?
Oh, man.
Okay.
Thank you.
And is Susan here? Did you want to say something?
I just have a real quick update. Just for everyone, I know there were lots of people concerned about the Mountaintop Cafe and the ability to exit and enter.
Right.
And we have been working really diligently for Caltrans. We got good news last Thursday that they had worked something out with the owners. We checked with the owners, and they indeed agreed to it, so there will be some minor modifications to that, allowing people to enter and exit.
Wow, that's great.
Cafe. Well, and also, I reached out to Paul Bauer and John's aware as well that we're going to assist in whatever way we can from our office with the winter traffic meeting.
The what?
The winter traffic meeting.
Do we have a date for that?
No. I actually request a date from Shannon today.
Okay. Well, Shannon doesn't work today, but she'll be there tomorrow.
Sure.
We've allocated, I was told by Captain Herbert that due to all...
be picky about that. It just doesn't get on the recording.
Due to all the congestion that we had last year up here in the Wrightwood area, I was told that we had allocated additional funds for overtime deputies to come up here and patrol during the winter months when everybody comes up. And
boy, that's very nice.
That's helpful.
Great. That's good news.
The county allocated additional funds
for
2 overtime deputies to come up here and work.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comments?
Thank goodness he didn't go up too high.
That was pretty good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I have two completely separate things I want to discuss. One is, I told you at one of the earlier meetings that I'd give you a history of the sewer committee, and I was wondering if you were still interested in that. I've made notes that I can read pretty quickly, kind of give you a background.
Sure.
You know what? I'm going to take this out or lower it in. Either way.
Push it straight down.
Push it straight down. There we go. Aha! Perfect. In the early 2000s, the County of San Bernardino did a feasibility study on a sewer system for the community of Wrightwood. The results were published by then-Supervisor John Michaels in April 2001. Supervisor Michaels asked the MAC board to put together a committee to study the issues regarding the feasibility of a sewer system for Wrightwood. The committee consisted of Leona King, who was the chairman, Paul Bauer from Mountain High, Jim Cohen from the Water Company, myself, Robert Evans, Francis Ferrance, Phyllis Gallagher, Bill Swift, Laura Steinman, Joe Torres, and June Woodmansee. Three options at that time were presented by the county: the business district only, 51 parcels, an expanded business district and blue zone, which is 1,090 parcels, and the entire community, which is 3,149 parcels. The committee met 8 to 10 times over a period of 2 years and spent most of their time gathering information. The big issues were costs, construction, recharge, studies, and financing. They also visited two treatment plants, Crestline and Victorville. In September 2003, Leona King was informed by the county the sewer project would not be built due to the high costs, and the committee was disbanded. In 2012, the MAC was concerned about the sewer issues in the downtown district and decided to reconvene the sewer committee. The committee consisted of myself as chairman, Herb Anderson, Ken Anderson at the time, who was our field rep, Chuck Carroll, Jim Cohen, Clark Flea, Laura Steinman, and our own Leo Hardin. At the first meeting, we concluded we were going to pursue two options: business district treatment plant with the financial support of the entire community, and sewers for the entire community. The committee met three times in the fall of 2012, looking at all the variables such as the scope of the project, funding, location of treatment plant, discharge downstream, etc. In January 2013, the committee met with county officials Robert Lovingood, Corwin Porter, who's chief of Environmental Health Services, Jeff Rigney, director of Special Districts, Ken Anderson, who was the field rep, Ron Frame, senior field representative, and Jim Orbitz, division manager of engineering. At the time, the committee was informed that the county was waiting for the Regional Water Quality Control Board to revise their basin plan, and they were also planning to start work on the LAMP. The minutes for that meeting are 6 pages long, and issues discussed were the business district, finance structure, timing, getting the community behind sewers, which was acknowledged as being extremely difficult, grant funding, nitrate and ammonia levels, LA County residents, Golden State water involvement, and community education. The biggest unknown was the cost. The initial study done in 2001 seemed unrealistic, too low. We needed to have a feasibility study done in order to proceed with facts and figures for the community. The committee met 5 times during 2013, including a visit to Yucca Valley to discuss their sewer installation problems, and also a meeting with Lahontan. We were coming up with lots of questions and no answers. The location of the treatment plant was the biggest hang-up next to the cost. Finally, we asked the MAC board to send an official letter to the county, asking the special districts to assist in obtaining grants for a community-wide engineering study to show both the need for and the cost associated with a possible sewer system for CSA 56. The cost of the study was projected to be approximately $50,000. The sewer committee requested the study readdress the initial three options proposed in 2001 and add a fourth option of decentralized systems for the community. The sewer committee requested to be put into hiatus until such time that feasibility study was completed or further research was deemed necessary. To date, special districts never obtained a grant and no new engineering study was ever conducted. In August 2016, the committee met to discuss the upcoming CSD special election and the possibility that CSD would be required to take on wastewater planning and engineering. Attendees were Lynn Crawford, Chuck Carroll, Herb Anderson, Stephanie Carroll, Leo Bordyke, and Laura Steinman. Costs were the main concern, both the cost of the CSD for the planning and the cost of the community for a sewer system. Also in August 2016, myself, Stephanie Carroll, and Natalie LaPiccolo met with Supervisor Lovingood about the CSD and the inclusion of the wastewater powers. I came away from the meeting with the impression that Lovingood was not too concerned about sewers in Wrightwood and it was a non-issue. We were also informed by Lovingood that the entire community could not pay for a sewer system for just the downtown district. Only the property owners could pay for it. Just as a side note, the LAMP was approved by San Francisco County in August 2017. Once the CSD has a chance to get established, the next step may, I have capitalized underlined, be looking for grant money for an engineering study of sewers in Wrightwood. As a small CSD, we have been informed there may be grant funding available. I do not believe there's any rush on this as the nitrate levels are low and Lahontan does not seem to be too concerned over the matter. There is something to think about for the future. Sincerely, Lynn Crawford, September 5th.
Thank you very much.
The other thing I want to talk about was I've been working with Al Morissette on the senior chair yoga that I'm offering to the community. I just kind of a recap. I'm taking teacher training in September, and as my gift to the community, I want to offer classes in senior yoga. But people have asked me what age senior yoga is, and I refuse to define that age. So I've worked with Al, and I've sent you guys all emails. At this time, what we'd like to do is offer it over at the Love Roots Yoga Shala, and Chloe has agreed to offer to have it for free for 3 months. As a startup for both the CSD and the class and see how it goes. If at that time, after 3 months, we decide this is a viable thing, then the CSD can discuss possibly paying the Shala for that space and that hour. I will not be charging for this class at all. I have gotten insurance for both myself and the Wrightwood CSD. You are now listed as additionally insured. We're scheduled to start October 5th, and I will be sending out flyers. Al told me today that we're good to go, so I just wanted to run that by you guys and make sure you're all good to go with me going.
Okay.
All
right. Great. Thank you for offering
that.
Any other public comments?
I'm Wally Lynn. I think most of you know me. Field representative for Congressman Paul Cook, 8th Congressional District, largest in the United States. I don't have a report tonight, but I just want to let you know I will be reporting or giving brief reports at future meetings on all issues that affect the local area and within our 8th Congressional District. So, as you know, Congress reconvened today, and they've got a ton of stuff on their plate. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and how Congressman Cook is involved in these various issues. So we'll see you at the next meeting. Any questions on that?
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Any other public comment? Okay. I'm going to move on to the consent calendar. And Steve, I don't know how to do this either. This is...
Consent calendar is agendized as a single item. Typically what you'll find here are non-controversial items.
Okay.
And the board can adopt it as a slate with one motion without having to go through each separate item. So you will see items being brought to you on the consent calendar. Again, they're typically non-controversial. However, if a board member wants to pull an item from the consent calendar as questions regarding anything, the procedure would be to ask that the item be pulled from the consent calendar, and then the board would take action on the remainder of the consent calendar and then discuss the items that are pulled separately.
Okay. All right, so we pulled July 11th, 18th, and 31st and added July 3rd. Do I have
I have one more.
Sure.
There's one more out here that's been August 7th. I have here, but it's not noted on the agenda. August 7th, I have.
Oh, okay.
So that's another one we need to add to this list.
August. Correct. August 7th. Okay.
That's not on our agenda.
Okay. So we need to add that to the consent calendar, August 7th, the minutes for August 7th. All right. If there's anything else?
Well, August, July 3rd as well.
We said that. Yeah, that was added.
Well, there's a July 3rd here, too.
That's what we just said. July 3rd is added.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you good? Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody else good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar as amended?
So moved.
I will second it. And the motion carries to approve the amended consent calendar.
Mr. President, you'll need a vote.
Oh. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries to approve the consent calendar as amended. Okay, item 6, discussion and possible action regarding solid waste fee transfer agreement and solid waste management agreement with the County of San Bernardino. A lot of work has gone into this from Steve and Al, me and Natalie, and we got a lot in there. They rejected this one last paragraph. That's in blue on page A2, Amendment 2.
That's on the management agreement, correct?
That's the management agreement, right. Right.
And so if I may, with respect to the fee transfer agreement, first of all, we have at least at committee level and staff level reached a consensus on that document. All of the changes that are reflected in the agenda materials have been agreed to and resolved with county staff. County will be bringing this to the Board of Supervisors on September 12th. So that document, we would recommend that the board approve. With respect to the solid waste management agreement, we're down to one last issue. All other issues, at least again at the staff level and committee level, have been resolved. And that is on page A2, which is appendix A, A2, paragraph 10. In blue is are the two sentences that we suggested adding onto that paragraph 10. We received an email from County Council tonight that was not acceptable to staff. They have proposed alternative language. And that reads, it's one sentence. So instead of the two sentences in blue, there would be one sentence that reads, in the event that the scales are inoperable, the load will be estimated by the scale operator, and Solid Waste Management Division will report such estimated loads to district on a monthly basis.
Right.
So that's the last remaining issue. And so I responded back to County Council indicating that I would present this to the board for your discussion and consideration.
You know, I think we got a lot in there. We got them to agree to all these other operational parameters, which I think is huge. And I don't think the scales are. It just, you know, I thought, hey, we should put in this other language because it seemed odd to me that they suggested that the scales are down, but they have in red over here. So that's what prompted me to do that. But in talking with Brent, I don't think the scales are down that much, and I don't think they would. I thought at first they might try to use that as an excuse not to weigh or to estimate, which we know is horrible. So I don't think that any longer. What do you think about that, Natalie?
I'm okay with it. They had mentioned that it's very rarely inoperable, so we were just concerned as as Wes said, that that would give them motivation to not do the weigh-in and weigh-out, and that we would be overcharged, and we wanted to be in control of being overcharged. But as they said, it's not very often inoperable, so I'm okay with sticking that way.
Yeah, okay. All the other language they agreed to was really great.
So with that, we would, unless the general manager has any comments, we recommend approval. Keeping in mind that there will, once this is, if this is approved by the board, it'll go to the Board of Supervisors for approval on September 12th. The Board of Supervisors approves it, then the county passes will be good until September 30th.
Right.
And then the district will be responsible for its own dump pass program for beginning October 1.
Right. That's right.
Do you have a question?
Come on up to the mic. Yeah.
Glenn Goldstein. Is it possible? We don't really know how often that scale is not working. We believe that it's not working a rare amount of time. I've been there when they just glide me through. So I don't know how many people it is, but it's just their word as to when or when it's not working.
Well, I think we do have some verification, though, because they will have to note it on the monthly report, and so we'll get that data. And if it's, you know, for example, there was 291 people at the dump in July. So if they come up with 290 estimates, there's a problem. I don't know, you know. And in talking with Brent from CRNR, he says that he weighs his trucks through on the same scale, and he says it's rarely down.
Well, the difficulty wouldn't be an official truck coming in; it would be a residential unit coming through, and if they're not weighing those, or it's weighed inappropriately, I'm not saying anyone's doing anything wrong or right. I'm just saying, how do you count the beans? So if it's official scale, if it's official trucks with a big title on the side, you know it's a trash truck, and they're getting weighed, yeah, sure. But what if it's just the guy with the trailer pickup truck? So could it be that we have a letter or something, this off the top of my head, I don't know if this works or not, but some kind of public information that if you're not being weighed, you can come to a meeting, say, or that there's some other catch for conditions?
Well, they have to report it. According to the contract, they have to, if they estimate it and it is not weighed officially, that they have to report it on our monthly report. Now, I guess a hole would be that they claim they weighed it when they really didn't. I think that's pretty easy. I'll just drive my truck down there once a month and see. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, we really, it, I don't know how else to do it and put a camera down there.
Well, no, but as I said, you know, if I go down there this month and the scale happens to not be working, just because that's the moment that I happen to be there. I was working a half hour before, I was working a half hour later.
Right.
How do I know that? But if I go down there and it's not working, if there's several other people and it can be all caught, then it's understandable. If it's just me, how do I know?
Yeah, I don't know. We have to trust that we have to work with the county, and we have to work with the transfer station as best we can. I think if we get word that it's that they're not weighing people, I mean, I think we should watch that carefully, and we should, you know, I will personally go down there because I do that.
Okay. Well, I just have a question. I don't have an answer.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
If I may, and listening to the discussion, I'm thinking of the letter that we sent out to the community that perhaps we do address that issue, that if they're not asked to be weighed or not asked to be weighed out, for them to call the CSD or send us an email, and we'll have an email and you know, the date and the time, that type of thing, maybe even their
good idea.
License number.
Yeah.
That way we have something to check and balance on.
That's a good idea. Okay. Michelle, you have any thoughts on this? I mean, the idea was that, I mean, the county's been pretty good about, especially Julie, their attorney, she's been really great. I mean, we had that meeting and she put all the language in there for their operation in the contract, which I think is huge.
Right.
Because that's, I mean, their operation's really loose down there, so at least we have a contract now. We can say, look, you guys are not doing X, we shouldn't have to pay for that because you didn't perform.
Yeah.
Or if you checked in too much trash, we're only obligated to pay up to 500 pounds, and that was a problem as well. The loads were higher than they should have been, and we are now contractually only obligated to pay for that 500 pounds.
Yeah.
So we got a lot in the contract that protects us from overpaying.
Yeah, I'm encouraged by what you were able to get into the contract. I like the idea Glenn presented and then Al, you know, gave us an easy way to accomplish that with checks and balances within our community. I also really like the idea that they're going to have to report back, and this can be, you know, it's not permanent. It'll be reassessed in future years, and so
yeah.
I'm comfortable with it as it stands.
And if we
based
get
on
a,
everything I've heard now.
And if we get a monthly report,
exactly,
we could stay right on top of it.
Exactly.
Now, if you have your truck and my truck, if we have over 500 pounds, we'll get punched twice.
No. That the if it's over 500 pounds, then the dump card holder will pay the difference. Let's say it's 800 pounds.
Okay.
So then you will pay the difference between 500 pounds and 800 pounds at $59.94 a ton.
So in that letter that we sent out here in a couple of weeks, we've got to make sure we carefully.
It's actually in all the letters you get now from the on the dump card. They just haven't been doing it right.
Yeah, because I get punched twice.
Yeah,
no, they have not been doing it correctly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, a note, when we all met with solid waste, a couple of Mondays ago, they talked about how they double punch, and then we brought up we even showed them the letter, and they're like, oh.
Yeah, they were kind of stunned by that.
I have a question. If they are going to weigh in and out every customer,
yeah,
then why don't you get a receipt? I get a receipt where everyone of mine that go through there. Are they not willing to give you a receipt?
No, we absolutely should. I guess
especially
I
didn't. Especially if you're going to be paying
yeah.
anything over the 500 pounds, I would think that you'd have to have
you'd have to get a receipt.
So I would think
yeah.
way in and out, it should go along with your report, your monthly report.
Yeah.
Or ask for it, right?
Right. I mean, when I was there and I asked for that way back, they wrote it on a sticky note.
But it was an official statement.
It didn't even have county letterhead on it.
Wes, are you saying that when we go to the dump, if it weighs over 500 pounds of load,
yeah.
that we have to pay out of our pocket the difference?
That's right.
At
$59.94 a ton. So it's about 3 cents a pound.
So they won't be double punching or triple or quadruple.
That's right. I don't know, even know where that came from. And when I asked them in the meeting, I said, where does that, I didn't understand the process. I said, well, where does that even come from? And none of them, there was like eight people there and they had no idea.
So maybe one of the best options would be to bring in 500 pounds or less and make a separate trip so you didn't have to pay. Again.
Well, you can only do it once a week.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I know the card's only good for once a week, but many of us only go to the dump a dozen times a year.
Right. I know, but it's in that letter that we've all gotten since 1974, or whenever that thing got passed.
Yeah, because many of us, you know, during certain times of the year, we'll go to the dump multiple times to clean up the yard.
And by the way, I have all the data from last year and from July. And I ground up all the data and stuck in a database and slice and dice the thing. And by far and away, the amount of what I would call abuses are contractors up here, are commercial guys. It's not people like what you're saying. I mean, because you can see it in the data.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one guy in July that dumped 7.81 tons in July. That's 530 pounds a day.
Yeah.
for 31 days, mm-hmm. or 30 days, whatever. So obviously that's a commercial, you know, the guy's a contractor, he happens to be a customer of UIA. So I won't say, but it's, the guy is a, I looked him up, or Natalie looked him up on Facebook, the guy is a contractor, so he's probably taking stuff from, not just from Wrightwood, but from, I don't know, but from all over his job.
And a renter using, using, you know, the property owner's dump card.
Right, right. So if you cut all that out, I estimated it for July, the bill from the county to the CSD in July would be $7,620. The, with the overages and the amount of commercial use, I estimate that we should get a credit of about half that back. In legit, there is legit people in there.
Right.
But most of it is, most of the big usage is from contractors just abusing the, and you know, the, I mean, to be fair, the dump station is not enforcing anything. So, they're not asking, so the person pulling up's like, well, they're not asking, I'm not asking. You know, let's roll. You yeah, know, so, sure. It's, you know, to be fair, it needs to be enforced in order for people, you know, they don't know. They've been doing it this way for a long time.
Just like what you were just saying. Well, in July, it might be going every day.
And yes.
I just get a new punch today, another one tomorrow, but it goes back once a week.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Maybe two dumps.
Yeah, you can really tell that. It is not the people clearing their property. And by the way, the assessment is there for a good reason. It's there, you know, in my research, and I'm not done researching it, it just goes on forever, seemingly. But in my research, you know, the original intent was, hey, let's not let people illegal, let's not encourage people to just take their couches and throw them out in the desert. You know, let's encourage them to go to the dump, which, and I think we all agree with. So we don't want to be, we can't be too hard on this.
Right, right.
You know, it has to have some common sense. I don't think contractors should be allowed to abuse it. But on the other hand, if somebody goes twice a week or three times a week because they're clearing their property, I don't see what harm that is.
My contractor went on my handyman took three dump loads today to the dump.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of my car was punched, but he did three dump loads in one day.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know. I'll ask him actually what happened.
Well, and if it's, you know, on the letter, you know, like contractors doing work on your property and stuff, it's expressly, you know, forbidden.
Forbidden.
It says right on the letter. It says, hey, you know, this is for ordinary household waste. That's what it says, and it is not for. Contractors doing work, and it is not for that. So I'm just saying what's on there.
Yeah, just like so today that happened three times, gigantic load, clean up from the yard sale, and
yeah.
He did three loads today to the dump on my yard.
Right. Right.
Last comment on that subject. What about tires? We have to pay $5 or $6 a tire.
That's all the same. So you still have to do that. Yeah.
Okay.
You still have to do that because that's way beyond our control.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Any other comments on that? Solid waste? There's a lot of details, a lot to know on this thing. You guys have any other?
No, those just a couple of things.
You guys okay with the agreement? Michelle, any questions?
I just have a question about the once a week. Is that a standard calendar week, or is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I could go on a Saturday and go 2 days later?
Right.
Okay.
That's the idea. I mean, it's up to us and how strict we want to be on that enforcement.
I don't know what kind of, you know, headache it creates at this point, but I'm certainly partial to what John was saying, that on the rare occasions that we would ever use the dump,
yeah.
The nature, I mean, the irony of the fact that it's for household ordinary trash when
yeah.
we have trash pickup. Like, it's great if you don't have CR&R, but I have CR&R, so the only reason I would use the dump is something outside of that in
right.
reality. And then if it is yard cleanup or...
Right.
I'm not even sure why, if the handyman works at my house, why it's not okay for that trash to go to the dump on my dump card. I understand it's a rule, but and just in terms of the logic of what we actually use these cards for up here...
Well, I mean, it's important to understand that $85.14 covers your use of the dump, whether it's CR&R or the dump card. Both things. So CR&R is just, it's worth going over again. CR&R is just the transportation company.
That's right.
So that $85.14 has to cover that plus everyone going to the dump. The idea was is that you could do what's called self-hauling. So, mm-hmm. you know, instead of having CR&R as your hauler, you could self-haul and dump it there. It's supposed to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
It never was intended as, hey, I'm going to take all my couches down here, or you know, I'm a contractor, and I'm just going to load up my truck every week. So I think,
right.
I think it's, you know, people clearing their yard. That's down in the noise. That really is not. You see that every now and then. You know, you just don't see it that much. The real abuses of the thing are from contractors.
Right. So, it, you know, it would be ideal to have the language really reflect that, so that there's a...
It does. It says it's not, you know, it's not for commercial use. And it's, you know, this agreement is between us and the county
mm-hmm.
so that they have to enforce what we want. Not, you
right.
know, we don't want them just making up rules.
Does it reflect, though... Or does it reflect, you know, the community members' needs? I understand it has language around contractors and such and what's not allowed, but during that season when we do go out and clean up our yards and such, and it doesn't coincide with
what it says here is that you also get on A2,
thank you,
on item 6. It's also good for 12 clean loads of flammable vegetation. So if you're clearing your yard, that's additional stuff. So you can go down there and do that green waste.
Is that a maximum of once a week though, or can those be
No, that one is not once a week.
Okay, thank you.
I'm wondering if there's a way that we could design it to where we give a maximum of, you know, a ton a month, which is what it should be, right?
Yeah.
500 a week. So we give a maximum of a ton for the month. And if there was a way to account that so that if some, you know, someone is only cleaning their yard once a month and they can have 2,000 pounds and go and dump it once instead of, you know, doing a punch per week type of design, if there would be a way that we could account for that in the cards.
That would create more flexibility.
Well, I mean, if we do that, we make it once a month. I mean, that's not what the rule is, though, and I'm really hesitant to recommend changing that because this has been this 500. But this language is just replaying what comes in the letter that we've gotten forever, and so we just decided to put that in the contract so the county would have to
abide by
that.
But do you think the county would be against if it was still the same amount that they were disposing of, that they would be against?
I think, Steve, I'd like to hear your comments on this because you made a comment during the meeting that I think is applicable on the assessment itself. Like, we don't know enough about this to screw with that.
Yeah, my concern would be if you stray too far afield on how the assessment has been administered, then it could create a problem with respect to whether the assessment would remain valid moving forward for the district.
Right.
So I do have some legal concerns about changing it too far afield. I think some of these administrative issues, there are going to be wrinkles that come up as you enforce this agreement and as it's being administered by both the county and the district. And I think that that's something that can be dealt with moving forward. For purposes of the contract, now I would recommend moving
approving the document as it stands with that one change to paragraph 10. And then as you see changes that the district would like, that's something that can be negotiated with the county following approval of these documents.
Okay. Do you have a comment, John?
John Azus. The way that it's written, and if you're going to enforce it, there is no wiggle room. You can't take two loads in one week.
Right. I mean, but that's the point is that we're just putting that in here so that the county, in case we have that option, it doesn't mean that that's what we have to do as a CSD. It just means whatever. It means that if the CSD wants those things enforced, we could through the county. The concern is that the county's doing virtually nothing down there.
No police.
They're not checking for commercial use at all. They're not weighing anyone or very few. Every time I go, they're not weighing. I watch the scales down there. There'll be 10 people in line. Nobody gets weighed.
I mean, I to sit there and do a yard cleanup.
Yeah.
From my place.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit there and go, oops, I'm at 500 pounds. I guess I'm going to have to carry a project on to the next week. I don't agree with that either.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is the way that it's written right now and the way that it should be enforced, there is no wiggle room. In other words, it's 500 pounds in one week.
Right.
And 500 pounds in another week.
Right.
Unless you use the flammable, the 13 Fs that are on there or whatever it is.
I mean, to be clear, we're so far, I mean, there's so many things that they have to do before we even get them to do that. I mean, just the fact that they weigh everybody is just going to be huge. I mean, they don't know, for example, I asked the scale booth, for example, if they could tell from their computer system if somebody had been there more than 1 week. No, they can't tell. They go off your punch card. I said, well, what if somebody gets a new punch card? Blank look. I mean,
but there really is no way to enforce.
There's.
It's really only if we decide to come up with some sort of enforcement system.
Right. That's the point.
Okay.
It's
so even if they were to attempt to follow this contract to a T, they don't have the hardware or the computer systems to.
No.
To do it.
No.
Okay. I know that it seems like we're beyond the once a month thing, but I would like to make a. Bit of a little comment. It's a lot different between four times a month and 4.3 times a month, which is an actual year. So the difference is about 1,800 pounds per person or per residence per month, which is about, you know, that's a ton a year. You know, it's a considerable amount. And if you multiply that over the numbers of people, even though not everyone uses it mathematically, it's a big difference. So.
Yeah, I mean, I have the numbers of the usage, and it is.
Well, if I could add one more
amazing.
Thing, I think we're missing the other piece of that, and that is if we do more recycling.
Yeah.
I'm doing recycling at the Grizzly.
Right.
We're averaging probably 200, 300 pounds a week.
That's great.
And that's not going to the county yard. That's going to Stanton.
Right.
CR and artist place,
mm-hmm.
along
right.
with the bottles, along with. So, if we do a better job as a community in recycling, that's less tonnage going into the county dump.
Yeah.
So, that's another piece we need to also keep in mind.
Yeah.
So, FYI, I just texted my guy. He took 1,486 pounds to the dump today and they punched his card five times. They did weigh it. They did weigh him.
That is astonishing that they did that.
Well,
yeah.
Are you surprised,
good.
Though?
Yeah, I am surprised.
That is what happened today.
Yeah.
Did he physically go there five times then?
He went there three times with a total of 1,486 pounds, and his card was punched five times.
Should have been punched three times. Interesting.
And that was an example
okay.
of an overcharge
yeah.
but
that we would get charged for, right?
Well, two of the loads are probably over 500. And
no, that's a,
but
that's
we,
the thing.
We would be charged that bill.
No, not necessarily. The county is doing that all different ways. I don't see any evidence that they're punching the card more times, but they're not actually like putting it in their computer system. they're just so screwed up that on both sides.
We did pick up a couch on the way that was done. We did service, and I just said, take that couch with you.
Beautiful.
But that was with your card, not his card.
That was my card.
His mother.
Yeah, and he used my license plate number.
They're not checking that either.
Mm-mm. Well, no, they do record the license plate, but they're not. I don't know. The idea was is to keep some kind of profile on the car so they didn't have to weigh it or some very sketchy idea they had. But yeah, that I don't really understand why they were doing that. Okay, well, I think it's a good agreement with the county. I think we've done a lot of work on it, and it makes it so that the CSD can at least enforce the minimal of items and maybe get the county to do that, maybe weigh people and check their cards and all that.
Would we be able to get a credit back for the overcharge?
That is not in the agreement, but that is what I want. Okay. Exactly. And because it's in the agreement. So, for example, if there was, you know, somebody in there, obviously a commercial person, I could go in with the data and say, look, this is all commercial, and I know Kimberly does this from Hellendale CSD all the time, as she goes to the county and says, look, this is not legit, and they give her a credit for that.
Yeah, so that's how it would. Again, there will be issues regarding enforcement, and so the language of the agreement talks about proper and substantiated fees. So you'll get the invoice if those the charges are not proper or substantiated, then that could be a basis for not paying.
Right.
And so there will always be a continuing dialogue with the county as it relates to enforcement and implementation. That's always going to occur moving forward.
And I would gather over the months, things will get tighter and tighter enforcement-wise at the dump because of the CSD being engaged on a monthly basis.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you will find that there's going to be probably some growing pains that, you know, the district will be issuing its own cards, and there's going to have to be some orientation with the county staff that's there to make sure that your cards are being recognized. And so there's... To think that there isn't going to be any wrinkles would be a mistake.
The like the LA County side, we're giving them completely new numbers, and they got to put all those in their system and be able to accept that.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least they'll be a part of the same lot of whatever color dump card we're going to have. And
there's just work to do with them as we implement this.
And the thought being that, and I think that there's some language in here about if we wanted to change the 500 limit, that there would be notice of that would be given by the district before in March, before the July 1st date.
Yeah.
So there's, it's contemplated that there would be some give and take as we implement this. And so that there's enough room in the document to allow that to take place.
If I could interject something as well, and crafting a lot of the work that was put into this document by the committee, the checks and balances, and that's something that I used earlier today while using it again, we really can't tell the county what to do at their transfer station or their landfill. What we can do is regulate how we're going to accept what they do. And in this manner, if they chose to status quo what they're doing right now, we have methods that we put into this that they've agreed upon to help protect us from that.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions, you guys?
John has a question.
Oh.
Comment.
You were, John Azus, you were saying that as of October the 1st,
right,
the old dump card is not going to be effective any longer.
Right.
how are they going to know what card to use at the dump?
We're gonna send out all new cards.
No, I understand that.
Okay.
But there are other cards that look just like our cards that the county uses.
They'll know our card for sure.
I understand that. But how do they know that my old card is not any good?
Well, they're supposed to know that. I mean, they're just supposed to. And so I would imagine that we want to make sure with their operations folks that they are aware of this, and that the three county employees that are in the scale house understand this issue.
Well, one of the things that we dealt with initially was that the county threatened they were going to deactivate the cards. How that deactivation occurs electronically, I can't speak to that. But apparently there's some sort of mechanism where when you present the card that would kick back notification that those cards are no longer valid.
Yeah. I mean,
if it all is triggered by an APN number,
it is. But
you put the APN
but it's more than an APN number. They have the ability to add on some other numbers onto the APN number that are internal to them.
Well, the way you were talking, it didn't sound like you were getting anything more out of them other than all they knew was your APN number.
No, they have a way to. I'm sorry if I miscommunicated that or it's. I don't have all the details with the way they store it in their system. But as I understand it, I hope I'm not making this up, but as I understand it, that they have other room besides those 13 numbers. You need 13 numbers for an APN number, but they have room in their database for more characters so they can put something in there to make it unique. Let's say the example of you lose your dump card, right? I asked them this, like they should be able to deactivate that one, you issue a new one with a -1 or whatever on it, and that goes in their system. And they should know that. They should key it in and know that. I have my skepticism, but I'm just saying that's the theory.
Yeah, and I do recall their answer was that they had some sort of administrative way to track that.
Yeah. Okay. If there's no other comments, I mean, I like the contract, and I think it'll be really great for the county and for us. Do I have a motion to accept let me get the official name here, the Solid Waste Transfer Agreement. Can I do this in one motion, Steve?
Yes.
The Solid Waste Transfer Agreement and the Solid Waste Management Agreement. Do I have a motion to accept this agreement?
Well, it'd be a motion to approve.
A motion to approve the agreement.
And to authorize the board president to execute.
And to authorize the board president to execute the agreement with the county.
I'm not sure what to say.
So moved.
Okay. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. All right. I lost my place. One second.
You are not French.
All right, item 7, discussion and possible action regarding exclusive franchise agreement with CRNR. So this agreement is basically that we get, and Brent, correct me if I'm wrong on this, okay? That the CSD, the franchise agreement, is that we get 10% of cash receipts, based on cash receipts, for exclusive rights for CRNR in Brightwood.
That's correct.
Okay. So there's no cost on this. There's no cost to the CSD for this. This is just, it's just an agreement for their exclusive
This would be carrying on the existing agreement.
Yeah, carrying on the existing agreement. Right.
And this is for the area of CSD.
Right. Right. And this also this also means for the LA County folks, all that would apply.
I don't have any questions on this.
No, I'm okay with that, Nicole.
Yeah. About you, Michelle? Okay. Okay. All those in favor, can somebody please make a motion to give the president the authority to sign this agreement with the exclusive franchise agreement with CRNR?
Guaranteed.
So moved.
Oh, okay. Can somebody second it?
I'll second that. Yeah, sure.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Aye.
All right, the motion carries.
Sorry, that was an aye.
In favor.
In favor.
In favor.
Okay. Okay, item 8. Discussion of possible action regarding One Town Proposal Program offerings. Let me get that. Do we have solid waste agreements?
We don't have
one
of
that. Oh, thank you. Okay. Oh, yeah. So this the idea is that we take that the CSD take over the administration of Music in the Pines, the Wrightwood Community Garden, and the walking school bus, and that each of these has a donation associated with it. So, for example, Music in the Pines, you get $45,000. And then we have Walking School Bus, $41,000. Wrightwood Community Garden, $25,000.
If I could make a comment, Mr. President?
Yes.
Okay. I did a general manager's notes and report on this.
Uh-huh.
After speaking with One Town, I spoke with some people in the community. The Music in the Pines of the program has been around for quite a few years. It actually kind of started out right here. I remember attending these out here. I attended one myself over at the...
I think this very stage was for Music in the Pines. Mm-hmm. That's where it originated.
I'm not quite sure on that.
Yeah.
But yeah. There you go. I learned something new.
Dan Campbell.
There you go. But there's a facility, Gamble Orchard, that I think everybody's familiar with. That particular program has been very successful. This year, I think they did 6 concerts. That was kind of deemed a little too much by some of the people who promoted the events. Suggestions probably 4, maybe at the most 5. 4 or 5 seem to be a really good number for the community to participate in. And they also offered the use of their bus, their shuttle bus. Now, the one thing with the shuttle bus that we have to take in light is that the driver of that vehicle would have to have a Class B license minimum with a bus endorsement on it because of being a passenger vehicle, that type of thing.
Do you have that out?
I used to, but I don't right now.
Okay.
Actually, I had a Class A license, and I gave it up last year. But there are probably plenty of people within the tri-community that do have that, and
it would be something to pursue.
But I assume there's costs against this, right? I mean, that's why there's money coming in. So
correct.
Where it? I mean, it seems like we would need to understand all that.
Well, there's currently the proposed donation of $45,000.
Right.
It's covered for 3 years. One of the things that was explained to me, and again, I don't have like this year's budget. Perhaps I need to get that if you guys want for some sort of other reference. But the funding is for 3 years. They do get donations that happen during the event. I understand there's some sponsorship that goes along with that as well. So it's a bit of a matrix. With us taking it over, okay, I'm just referring to this one right at the moment. With us taking this particular event over, we would probably form a committee of existing people who have been involved at one time or another. Mr. Campbell, his wife, some other people that would get involved. And develop before the program would ever be implemented, it would have to develop a budget, and that budget would have to be brought to this board for approval. And so, you know, that's something that to take into consideration. The Lockwood school bus. Actually, we have Principal Gardner here from Brightwood Elementary, and if you could come up and perhaps explain that a little bit more. Again, I got some information on that, but I think hearing it from Mr. Gardner would be very fun.
All right. Well, if you're not familiar with the walking school bus, we have four routes, two from the east and two from the west. They are led by two adult volunteers on each trail every morning. We have about 100 kids on the list participating in the walking school bus every day. You know, there's so many benefits to the walking school bus. There's really not a negative to it. The kids walk more safely to school because they're in a group. They're supervised by adults. They're outside getting exercise and fresh air. They're walking. The camaraderie of walking with their friends is a great way to start their day off. They are interacting with parent volunteers, but also community volunteers. We've got several senior citizens that volunteer as trail leaders as well. And on top of that, Runtown has sponsored the walking school bus for the last several years, and the students earn $1 every day that they participate in the walking school bus, and that amount gets paid out. It accumulates over their years. And we keep track of it, and they get paid that amount when they leave Wrightwood Elementary. So fifth grade promotion over the last few years has become a real exciting part of our promotion ceremony when we're able to send the kids off with $200-$300 checks that they can put towards their college education. So it's great all the way around. And my only question, I guess, would be, who's going to fund that? And I understand, I heard the $41,000. There is a coordinator of the walking school bus who plans all of the volunteers, who also coordinates walking school bus hot chocolate parties and things like that. She purchases out of her budget prizes for the kids. They get a raffle ticket each day they participate that they can then use to purchase prizes in the office. So once that $41,000 is exhausted, my concern is where would the walking school bus go after that?
Who administers that or manages that right now?
There's a person who I believe, I'm not involved in the sponsorship of One Town, but I believe One Town funds a coordinator.
Sandra Romero?
Okay, but it's somebody who's...
It's a Wrightwood parent, but she is paid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We tried it when we first initiated the walking school bus 5 years ago or so. It didn't take off quite as well as we wanted to, and the coordinator, her
children ended up not going to Wrightwood anymore, so we weren't able to find a person to coordinate it all. We were having a hard time. There just weren't very many kids participating in it. I should add, we also have community businesses that support the volunteers as well. I think for every two times they walk, they get a coupon for a free cup of coffee at the gas station, and I think they get, for every five times, I believe it is, they get breakfast at the Grizzly, and so the volunteers get rewarded as well. So we were having a hard time rounding up all these people to participate until we started pouring money into it, and through the generosity of One Town, that paid for a coordinator, paid for prizes, and that dollar a day is something that has really got the kids and the parents motivated to participate. I'll say this, the walking school bus is one of the neatest things that is unique to Wrightwood Elementary School, and when I am out bragging about our school, the walking school bus is often the first thing I mention. It's just really one of the neatest things we have going. And it's as strong now as it's ever been, like I said, with about 100 kids on the list and a lot of community volunteers and parent volunteers. It's really been a great program for our school, and I think for the community too. If you've seen, you know, the kids walking on the village trail or walking down the streets in their fluorescent vests and you know, all walking together, it's really a neat thing that's unique to our community. So my question again is, you know, before you make any decisions, I guess I was a little caught off, to be honest with you. I was a little caught off guard that this was even a discussion item. So I haven't been able to talk to One Town about it. Before you make any decisions, I would like to voice my concerns about the future of the walking school bus.
Yeah.
Before any decision.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Not the
one. No, to add to that, Mr. Carter, mm-hmm. when I'm up in front of the Grizzly and working away, I see about 7:45, 30 kids, mm-hmm. adult in the front, adult in the back, and they're all waving and they're walking on the village trail.
Yeah.
And of course, I've got two grandsons, Alex and Maddox, are out there waving and it's going through. But I really appreciate that program.
Yeah. And the firefighters joined us too. I was on the village trail the other day, and as we passed the fire station, there were about five or six firefighters out there. They said, "Mind if we join you today?" And they walked to school with the kids. It's really, really a neat thing.
Yeah.
Really fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I have a few concerns about, first of all, I think all of these programs are outstanding, and I could see, you know, adopting them. I guess I would have seen ideally a little more gradually than all three at once, but my concerns are, or one thing I would like to see are the current budgets for all three programs, so we really have an idea of what's involved in the running of these programs. The synopsis is a great start, but understanding the specifics of what the financial demands would be in the future going forward, especially after those 3 years are up, where that leaves our CSD and what we would need to be funding. And then one of the more present concerns is that at least the community garden adds, that puts the general manager as the person who's coordinating that. So it adds more to your plate. And you've still got Shannon here right now because you've got so much on your plate right now, Al. So the idea of throwing in a lot more to the mix, I guess, is a little concerning to me.
I don't know, because they have somebody managing that now. So
here it says that
it's right here, the part.
It says the garden consists of 46 plots rented by local gardeners and would be coordinated by the district's general manager.
Oh, okay.
So on that, I don't think that's specified on the other two, because they were, well, Music in the Pines is going to would have a board. And then the walking school bus apparently has a coordinator that's paid.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really would like to see more financial analysis of this thing, like in a spreadsheet. Hey, this is what it's going to cost now. Here's what it's going to cost then.
Exactly.
What happens if we lose the coordinator for the walking school? What happens then?
Right.
Can we hire somebody? What happens? What happens to this money if a year from now, the walking school bus program, we go, we just can't do it. So what happens then? Do we get part of the? Do we have to get part of the money back, or? I have a lot of questions on the.
Yeah, I agree.
On the business side of it.
Yes. But so, they're great programs.
I
like the idea of supporting the programs and such.
Yeah, I agree.
And I am the community garden coordinator, so don't know that I could even vote on
this. I know that.
It does not take up a lot of my time at all, but I mean, like I said, I don't even know that I can vote on this because.
But you can answer the questions.
And I had a conversation with Al and told him what it takes me to coordinate the community garden. Basically, it's beginning of the season. I have some work to do in the end of the season a little bit. But the community garden is we rent the plots to the gardeners, and the gardeners are responsible for maintaining their plots. So really, there's nothing that I do on that in-between time. Other than enforce if people are not planting in their plots. And is an occasional walk to the garden. And
what happens with the, I don't know, does stuff go wrong down there? Like the water stops working or the pipes? Or we got a lot of pipe issues in there right now.
Occasionally at the beginning of the season, some of our pipes have frozen over and we've had to do small repairs, but it's typically a day repair and not very expensive. And we had someone break into the garden this year and steal everyone's coverings off the top, and that was the largest issue I had this year. But
Does the CSD have to have insurance for the garden?
Yes.
We would have the properties on the property.
You would be leaving.
Well, we already do.
Yes.
So I know that when Stephanie started the garden, and I think Kathy Smith was running it, they had some projects going in the garden. I don't think they're there anymore, but it seems like ideally the garden would have somebody running it that is a master gardener or really has some training, you know.
Some passion.
A real background.
It.
Maybe you do. I don't know.
I don't.
Okay. but ideally I would see that, you know, I guess some of the coordination by the general manager, but it'd be nice to have somebody managing the garden who's really got that green thumb and has a passion for it.
Remember my resume from when you guys selected me. I ran a landscaping business during the 70s.
I had forgotten that piece.
I'm horticulturally savvy.
Okay.
And we do have a master gardeners program that comes. It's not involved with it. They work with the community gardens put on.
Here.
They help hold some garden workshops here. So,
Well, I mean, shouldn't we form an ad hoc committee or something here, Steve, to sort of study the financials of this thing and report back to the board?
Okay.
On some, I mean, I don't think it'll be that.
I'd be willing to be
we
on
need
that.
Some, yeah, good.
I'm finally in town to be on one.
Yeah. Yeah,
summer,
you need
so.
To be on one.
I know. I couldn't volunteer for anything in the beginning because I was headed out.
Yeah. Okay. I've forgotten already, Steve, how to form an ad hoc committee.
Two members of the board, they volunteers, and then...
Okay.
Do we need a motion for it?
You don't need one, but it's probably preferable, and it's within the scope of the agenda item. So.
Okay. Who else wants to be on that?
I'll be on it.
Okay. All right, because Natalie can't, right?
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Do I have a motion for form an ad hoc committee for the One Town proposal for both Leo and Michelle?
It's still moved.
I'll second the motion. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right, motion carries for the ad hoc committee. Hi.
Hi, Terry Hill. Just curious who brought this to the CSD? What's the origination of this?
It was brought to my attention through One Town.
Thank you.
All right. Any public comment on this? Okay.
It's a long walk
from
that. Hold
for next time, Glenn.
Take that under. Glenn Goldstein, once again.
I don't know if I can, I don't know, to speak on
it.
I don't know if you need any help or not with the landscape stuff, but I was an agricultural biologist, agronomist, landscape architect, still am.
You're hired.
Thank you. you know, if some advice can is sought, I would be
glad. That'd be great.
Yeah, you would be very important.
Also, I've set up community gardens.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, thank you.
Just thought I would mention that.
Yeah, it's great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just out of curiosity, can an ad hoc committee include members of the community that's not on the CSD board?
Technically, no.
Okay.
I just have a question or two. Why have one town?
Can't
hear it. Why does one town want the CSD to take over these programs?
Al, can you answer that since they've contacted you?
Well, the closest I can come to that answer is that they think it's a fit with the CSD, and they think that the CSD would benefit by the outreach and the camaraderie with the community.
Okay.
Falling under the Parks and Recreation.
Correct. Yeah, this is all Parks and Recreation affiliated.
Right, okay. Okay, item 9, discussion and possible action regarding process for filling board vacancy. And I assume you have some comments on this, Steve?
This is a follow-up. This is a follow-up to the discussion that we had at the last board meeting regarding process and implementing the board's desire. I think staff has put together a draft notice that's in the agenda materials. The only thing I might suggest in looking at that notice is whether or not the board wants to consider a deadline for submittals.
I think we should. I think deadlines are good.
the requirement would be the deadline would have to be
2 weeks, right?
15 days from the date of posting.
Yeah, I received a couple of emails. One, for, and I think we all, you know, we all have, right?
Yeah.
From who?
One from Alex.
Mm-hmm.
And.
One from,
there was somebody from
Joe.
Yeah.
Joe Chastain, he's a lawyer.
Okay. So it's,
if I could make a comment, I have not received those emails.
Speak up.
I think
they just make a comment. I have not received those emails, and I think it needs to be forwarded to me.
Okay. I gotta find them again. Yeah. Okay.
Because I have another one as well that applied and sent me an email in compliance with this message.
So is this out there, Al, right now?
No,
we have to approve it.
Okay.
We have to approve it first. So we have approximately 30 days until our next meeting or around there. So there seems like there's plenty of time for us to approve this, post it with 15 days, and make the cutoff, I would say, a week ahead of our next meeting. Which then gives time to give us the information.
And you said a week. I think Director Schneider's comment was a cutoff bit. That was a week before your next meeting.
Okay.
And so that,
and that gives us plenty of time to.
More than 15 days.
Yeah.
What is considered posting?
Posting is required in 3 conspicuous places within the district. My suggestion would be to the same locations on your sunshine ordinance, and I think there are 4 there, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. You may want to also post it on your email address.
So the same locations where the agendas are posted.
Right. Yeah. So we can post it on electronically on Wrightwood Calif. We could put it on Facebook. We could also post it physically in the those 3 usual locations.
And that would be this building, the fire station, or the fire museum.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the third one?
The hardware store. And then the fourth is the fire department bulletin board.
I think Facebook and the website are good ideas. I think it would also be nice to send. I know this was a part of the many attachments for the meeting, but to send this out individually to everybody on our mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure,
that the people that come to these meetings and such have someone in mind, or they are able to then take that email and forward it.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I think it needs to be addressed at this meeting. I personally have no access to the website or to the Facebook. You know, that information is...
So the Facebook page, anybody can post on that page?
Not necessarily. What I'm getting at is that I don't administer either one of them. I'm not the administrator.
Right. You don't have to be the administrator on the Facebook page to post.
Mm-hmm.
You can just post as a member, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I've seen other people post on there. So that's not an issue for the Facebook page. Wes, any progress on website? Were you able to meet with Joe?
No.
Okay.
I didn't hear from him. I think on the website, I think I'd like to see an ad hoc committee for that.
Okay.
That people can really push that forward. I'm pretty swamped out right now, and I'd really like to see a couple of other people on an ad hoc drive that thing forward.
I'm happy to work on that.
Currently, the website is a WordPress website, and Stephanie administered that before, and I'm able to add to that as well. So if I can figure out how to add you as an administrator, I will do that, or I will contact Stephanie and ask her if she can make you an administrator.
Do you want to work on that committee?
Sure.
Since you're the person on it, that seems, or this.
Well, keep in mind, that committee is not on the agenda.
Good point. Thanks, Steve.
And Al, I can also probably, if I can figure it out, make you an administrator to the Facebook page as well, because I administer that.
Okay.
I'm
sorry.
Okay, so we can't make an ad hoc for the web page design, really. An ad hoc committee to drive that thing forward.
Well, so there's two ways to make an ad hoc committee. One is what you just did, which is through board action within the scope of an agenda item.
Yeah.
The other is the board president could do it. It's not the way that I normally would recommend it.
It's not the best way.
It's not the best way.
Is there any other way to pursue this issue between now and the next meeting?
Well,
next regular meeting.
I think that if is there some sort of what's the expectation?
Well, the expectation is that it's this website just needs to be driven forward with some goals. You know, we need to get documents up there. We need to have
a
mailing
list
up there. I mean, this is all stuff I do every day. You know, every day at my business. I know people that do this, but it is really cumbersome. Having we need a place to be able to put documents there that people can search and find things and.
Is that something that typically the board gets involved in, or is that something that would normally be general manager?
I'm never thinking of the general manager because we didn't have one for so long, but that's probably right.
So I've spoken to someone who does this. I mean, this is profession. He lives in town, and he's happy to work with CSD on the website. But if the way to go forward is...
It does seem like that's the general manager's job.
And I also want to comment that I don't know if we want to consider even making a new website, because that website that we created is throughout the election process. So you might want to make a new website.
Maybe, but it's WordPress, which is extremely... You know, so many people know how to work on WordPress. It is the right thing. So it doesn't matter for that. It just should be WordPress is the only thing, the only opinion I have.
You know, even though it's a carryover, it can have a new face. And the rightwithcsd.org is really a good to keep.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep that, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, Al, is this something that you have extensive experience with, or what's your...
My experience with creating a website, it ranges between zero and zero.
Okay. So would it be okay for me then to have contact you, Al?
You can have somebody contact me.
Okay.
Absolutely, and I do know some people
who
could probably help out or whatever.
Okay.
So on that note, Steve, should I take myself off of any administrative things on the websites or anything?
Not yet.
I don't think you need to do it right now. I think maybe what we'll do is we'll agendize it for your next board meeting, and then I think the general manager could work with all of the board members individually, not collectively, but individually, in presenting something for the full board at the next board meeting. And so with whatever information Director Schneider has can be presented to the general manager, Director Lupiccolo, the same thing. And then that can be brought back to the full board at the next meeting.
Okay. Now getting back to the discussion of possible action regarding process of filling the board vacancy, have we decided there's going to be a deadline on this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got to move to accept this. Do we also need to state the date that it's going to be posted, or by accepting it, are we stating it's going to be put up tomorrow, or how specific does the motion need to be?
As specific as you want. My suggestion is that there be a deadline for submittals, and that they're not being dropped off at the board meeting on the 3rd. That there be a deadline. And the legal requirement is 15 days, no less than 15 days after posting. If this gets posted by September 11th, then the deadline of September 26th that Director Schneider had indicated a week before the board meeting, that would be sufficient. I don't know. One thing you may also want to consider is whether you want to have some sort of ad hoc committee that would then review the applications and make a recommendation to the full board, or whether you would have an interview of every applicant, or how you wanted to conduct that appointment process.
That was my next question you just answered. So how do we want to do this? We want to have an ad hoc, kind of like we had for the general manager, or do we want to just have interviews at the next meeting and do it that way?
I don't know that I'd like to go in the direction of the ad hoc, just because you and I were on the ad hoc and then we kind of had to report. So Stephanie was she was just prepared that evening and had to make a decision that evening. So.
Right.
I feel like maybe we should all have the chance to read over the applications that come in and the resumes that come in order to make the decision.
Put this all on equal footing.
Yeah, because Stephanie really wasn't on equal footing with us, and we gave our report, and she had to make a decision then and there.
And I will be leaving on September 19th and be back the 3rd of October.
What's the date of our meeting?
3rd.
So you'll be here?
We're
going to
try.
Okay.
If I can make a suggestion. Again, as this notice stipulates, have the people contact me, send me their resume,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever pertinent information that you guys would want to have, and then I can collect all that, and then when we set up the agenda for the meeting on the 3rd, since it's a 72-hour ahead, you guys have some time, because actually you can do it more than 72 hours.
Yeah, I'd really like to get it immediately following the deadline, or as close to that as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
But we need to get it out to everybody at the same time, and you guys can't be making comments.
Oh, it can't be sent to the board members. Oh, thank you. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so if I put it out in the agenda,
right, the sunshine
room. Then everything is
Right.
On it.
Yeah, the public is entitled to receive it the same time.
Same time
before.
They do.
Right.
Right. And if you have any questions, then you can ask me those questions. Now, I will make a comment as well that I won't be here on October 3rd.
Okay. But will you be here on the 26th and 27th?
Probably not.
So how are we going to do the agenda for our next meeting?
Believe me, I can make the agenda.
Okay. So are you able to still facilitate this
absolutely.
While being gone? Okay.
Absolutely.
So it sounds to me like we need to add to this a September 26th deadline, as everybody agrees to a week out. And then ideally, Al, you're sending that out certainly 72 hours in advance, but as much in advance as possible.
I can probably, well, it just depends on what you're going to have on your agenda at that time and the backup material.
Right.
You know, as you saw this time, we had a lot of backup material, but that had reason.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of big issues that we had to deal with. I think it's going to be less for the next meeting. You know, we will have a couple items that deals with some of the minutes from past meetings. But again, that's going to be okay. You know, the meeting being on a Tuesday, I can have Shannon put the packets together.
Okay.
You know, on a Monday for the meeting here. But I can send everything. I can put everything together. I actually want to put it in a bit of a better format. And get it out to the board members and to the public
great.
Earlier. Okay. You know, 72 hours is the minimum.
Well, if the deadline is Tuesday the 26th, then the earliest that the agenda can get out would be the Wednesday the 27th.
Right.
So as far as what the agenda looks like for that meeting, we would have consent calendar items for the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else we would have. How?
Well, we have the reporting back of the ad hoc committee for the one town.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, assuming that will be ready for reporting
right.
back.
Okay.
Right.
And then you would have the interview, and I don't know how many applications you will receive and how long you're going to want those interviews to go.
Yeah. Okay.
And also, what kind of questions you might want to ask? I believe that there was with the general manager appointment, there was I think pretty much consensus on the board's part that the questions that were asked were going to be consistent to all of the applicants.
Right.
So that needs to be discussed if that's the same kind of process you want to engage in, where the applicants would be asked not to be here while the interviews were being taken place of the other applicants.
Mr. Kennedy, could the board form an ad hoc committee that worked on the questions of the applicant for the application?
Sure. Yeah.
So that way you guys could glean through your thoughts and perhaps get a format, because it is best. I mean, you know, to be fair to everybody, to ask the same questions, and you don't need 200 of them. You just need 5 or 10. Probably not even that.
Yeah.
When you interviewed for the general managers, it took us both about a half an hour to answer the questions and go through the process. If you have two or three true applicants that show up, well, that's not too enduring. But if you have six, seven, eight, that could be enduring. So think about how many questions you really want to ask.
Yeah, and there it appears also that the will of the board is not to really vet the applicant, so that the board would be making a decision on from the full pool of applicants that come in, and so that could be quite a lengthy process.
Yeah,
So
I think last time the ad hoc committee vetted the applicants for general manager and
acted as a filter
and then presented too. Now I understand for an elected position, it's a different dynamic, and do you really want to have an ad hoc committee filtering down who would be sitting with you?
That's what sort of bothers me.
Yeah,
you
know, so I understand.
It's like we're not really looking for, you know, hey, we're hiring the general manager and we're asking all these questions. You know, I feel like we can't even ask those questions. You know?
Right, and so that makes sense. But I think you also need to be prepared for if you've already received 3 inquiries and you haven't even posted your notice up yet.
Right.
I think I need to be prepared that you may have quite a few people applying for that position.
Maybe you want to have just one special meeting just to handle that and not anything else? Is that too much time?
Well,
or 60-day runs
it
out.
Has to be done by the 3rd.
Yeah. You're saying more meetings?
So,
Does
it have to be?
Depends on how many people you have.
That's
60 days from the date.
Yeah, when did she send our minutes?
Is that the 15th?
Is that the 15th of August?
The 15th.
The calendar.
Yeah.
Which also begs another possible change from the notice, which states that the board will make a decision on October 3rd. You may want to soften that language.
Yeah. Okay. The board may make a decision on October 3rd. Hi, John.
During that process of having another board member, will we again, like we did with the business manager, will we be able, as a public, do we have to go outside when you make your decision?
Oh, like in a closed session?
We did not have a closed session for the general manager. We agendized it as
potential,
as an option, but the board did not go into closed session.
But we, the public, had to go outside while you were doing.
No, that was a different matter.
That was not the general manager.
That was a different meeting, in fact.
Well, we need to go outside for.
There's no basis for the board to go into closed session. With the general manager appointment, we agendized that as an option for the board in case you wanted to do it that way, but the board conducted the entirety of those deliberations in open session.
Correct.
With respect to your appointment of the 5th member on the board, there is no option to go into closed session. So that will not be, we will not be able to even agendize that.
And the deadline, incidentally, if I calculated correctly, would be October 14th.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of leeway after the 3rd.
Right.
Yeah, Chuck Franklin, in reference to the agendas, Steve, I believe that don't we have to give the county a budget sometime in September, or is that true or not true?
It's a great point that I was just thinking about as the budget discussions came up. So, yeah, you are operating right now off of a tentative budget that was through the LAFCO process. I do recommend that at some point in time, sooner rather than later, for the very reason that the board consider its own budget. Typically, the process is one with that the general manager brings that to the board, presents that to the board, and then it gets adopted. There have been certainly more pressing items and you have a general manager that's only been in place for a month.
Is there any legal issue in the sense of it having to be in September? Because that's what LAFCO said.
LAFCO said that there's a September 1 date, but that's already passed. But you do have a tentative budget that was through the LAFCO process, that was part of the LAFCO approval. So that definitely needs to be addressed as soon as possible.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks for that comment. Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't like the idea of an ad hoc for this for this deal.
So we could prevent the ad hoc committee, such that whatever number of people there are,
that would be them
that night, but could we then...
Well, the downside would be that, you know, 20 people come to the meeting and times 30 minutes.
Well, I think we try not to make it 30 minutes, maybe just one or two very simple questions.
Do we want to
just
have one question or something?
I would say one or two questions.
Why? Are you mad?
Requirements for general manager are different because they were, you know, we were looking for someone who could manage financing and things like that, but I don't think we have those types of requirements for a board member.
Yeah, it'd be a pretty small number of questions, right? Why do you want to do this?
So if you look at our bios, yours was long, but if you look at our bios, I mean, mine was two paragraphs that I wrote that...
Why do you want to post it on the forum?
Yours was long, and Stephanie's was long, because you guys itemized a lot more. But I don't think it needs to be extensive. I was kind of thinking if each of us come with one question... That might be a little hokey, but anyway. I can come up with a couple off the top of my head that would be significant, and if one of you asked the question I had, then I could just move on to the next question I had. But
I think we just do it at the regular meeting. I don't think we should have a special meeting.
And be transparent as possible.
We should just do it at that meeting.
Definitely transparent.
Okay. All right. So when would that meeting be again?
October 3rd
is the community. That would be our next meeting.
That's our regular meeting, yeah.
And is community building open and all that stuff?
We're booked for the first Tuesday of every month, right, Al?
Let me take a look here. Let's see here.
October 3rd.
Yeah, we're good.
It's open. Okay. Are we there for November and December too, Al, while you've got the calendar?
December?
First Tuesday in November and in December.
Well, let's see, November.
Can I have a question about that?
Let's see here first.
Will we be dark in December?
Yes. And December we have.
I don't understand the question.
Why would we be dark? You mean have no meeting?
The mat used to go dark in December and sometimes January because of the holidays.
Well, just to let you know.
I don't think we can do that.
I don't think we can.
No, we've got a committee.
Yeah, we have to.
Just to let you know, you're not on the calendar for December.
Would you please add us?
Maybe.
The first Tuesday of every month.
I could.
So that would be October 3rd, November 7th, and December 5th?
That sounds about right. Okay.
December 5th?
5th, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, 7th and 5th.
Okay.
So will you all come with one question? I thought that was a great idea.
Just try to keep it short. I don't think you can have a lot of requirements. I mean, somebody on the board.
No, we can get a sense of the person and what they offer and or feel they offer and
why do you want to serve the community?
Right.
Why do you want to do this? Exactly.
Again, depending on asking yourself that question. Like,
no, so.
Again, depending on how you guys want to run your meeting, obviously, and how many candidates you have. I'll give you a little clue. Down in Phelan, we had one board member pass away, and we had one board member move out of the area, and so we had to deal with this twice in the last 9 years. And in both situations, maybe I'm going to say fortunately, it seems to me we had about four to seven people actually, several people said they wanted to, but actually submitted it with four to seven, and we interviewed each one of them and gave them like a couple of minutes to express their total thoughts, and then the board asked some questions. So just kind of, you know.
So it was manageable.
So it's manageable.
Yeah.
And I actually like that format, or that sounds appealing, that to give the person a chance to first say what they'd like to say.
And then you could draw your questions.
And then if our questions haven't been answered by whatever they've said, then we can follow up with those. Does that seem...
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
All right.
So Steve, do we need to officially adopt this procedure we've just created? Or it's in the minutes? And
no, yeah, it's just by consensus of the board.
Do we have to officially adopt this?
I think that needs some adjustment.
Yeah. Definitely, Al, we need the deadline of September 26th added.
I have it here.
Okay.
I think you can, Natalie, you can just make the changes and give that to Al and have that.
Yeah.
Oh, did you make it?
I did.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was a printing.
Oh, okay.
And the at the bottom, the right with CSD.
May.
Or May.
Yeah, I have that one down.
Can we, then, how about instead of will or may make a decision, can we say the Wrightwood CSD board will interview candidates?
Yes.
On October 3rd?
Yes.
And that?
And may
yes.
make a decision?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that
softens it.
Will interview and may make an appointment.
Yes, okay. I think both of those are good additions.
And do we want to require them to submit resumes?
Yeah, that's on there.
I put that down. I was just asking if everyone else.
Instead of resume, can it just be a bio or something?
Or a personal interest statement, something.
Just something really, 3 or 4 sentences.
I think that's...
Mine's 3 pages long.
We won't accept that.
Just your note email is perfect.
That's all you need. Okay, let's move on to no action required on that.
No, I think that the consensus on the notice as well as the process.
Right. Okay, director's comments. Anybody have any comments? Michelle, you look like you're ready to give a comment.
Oh, it's cold out because we have the air turned down a little for the next meeting.
Michelle and I are
we were freezing at the last time, and I forgot to say anything, so I'm saying it during this time period.
Well, either that or bring a bottle of whiskey. Which would you prefer?
Well,
put in a fireball.
Fireball or whiskey?
Okay, any other?
I don't have any.
Okay, all right, general manager report.
It's at the back.
Lynn, did you? I just want a public comment here.
You mentioned something about the ad hoc committee for One Town having to be done by next month. I'm not sure with all the stuff that you have going on that you really have to make a decision within a month, do you?
No, it doesn't mean that we have to make a decision.
Okay, I missed that part.
It's going.
It just,
he said not necessarily.
All right.
Kind of for that.
Right.
So anyway, my manager's report, I'll keep short this week. Today, we had septic solutions. Start for the first time to do the restrooms outside. They're going to start doing the restrooms on a daily basis during the week, Monday through Friday. Originally, the thought was a Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. But their price is pretty high for Saturday. So in discussion with them, do them with Monday through Friday, which is actually less as far as the cost to us than if we would have done the Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And so we'll be looking for somebody to do Saturdays and Sundays. They are going to open at 7, or come here at 7, and I told them to leave the restrooms open when they leave. It'll probably take them like an hour. So, you know, technically the restrooms will be open at 7.
So they would open them during the week, is the idea?
They would open them during the week, and they would be obnoxious stuff at 8 o'clock on Saturdays. And Sundays.
Okay.
Just because I can.
Okay.
Al, you're probably getting to this, but what was the cost for Monday through Friday?
$45 a day. So that's like 2.25 a week.
Okay.
Well within our budget, so we're okay with that.
Yeah.
And then the refrigerator in the kitchen decided that it was in the Bahamas and started doing it its temperature in the 50s. And so I had Spidey come out today, and they recharged the system. And said that everything else checked out okay. Now, I thought maybe they'd find some other issue. They said if there is a leak, that they couldn't find it, and it had to be really insignificant as far as the size of the leak goes. But it was low in coolant, and so they recharged it and left. And other than that, then I am taking a vacation slash business trip starting September 25th and coming back on the 6th. I might come back a little sooner, but that's probably the window that I will be gone.
Okay. Is there... is there a way we can get a, you know, we need to start to get a handle on our expenses and getting those listed out. I mean, I know I'm signing some checks. It all seems reasonable, but I think the rest of the board and the public should get a look at, you know, what the actual expenses are.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, for me, I'd like to see a spreadsheet. It's just a simple spreadsheet for now, but... After that, the board's going to have to do something more official. You know, we need to get our financial, now that we've gone through some of these contracts, and right?
Yes, I completely agree. I think a couple of things that Mr. Franklin made a very good point about budget, and and I think the general manager just made a comment about certain costs being within budget. I think having the board adopt a formal budget is probably your next big besides the appointment of your another director, your next
right.
big move. And then including also moving forward in your agenda materials a disbursement list, reflecting reflecting the checks that have been written and who they're for and when they were written and for what.
Yeah, I think that's terribly important.
Yeah.
So with the general manager's report, it'll also have a spreadsheet back there. With
well, that's one way. Or another way is could be part of the consent calendar is the disbursement list. Okay. And so then the board reviews that and takes action on it as being okay. Even though it's already the checks have already been cut. It's something that can be either on the consent calendar or as part of the general manager's report or an actual action item, whatever the board wants to do. But to ensure transparency, that's probably, it should be on the, somewhere on the agenda, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Is that something that should be on the agenda for each of our regular meetings?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Okay, so we can make sure that's on the
next one.
On the, yeah. Okay. Anything else on your general manager report? How's the? How are the? You made a comment to me, Al, about the about you know Eli straightened out some of the sewer pipes and stuff. I know this is all mundane stuff, but still, and he got some of that stuff straightened out, and it seemed like it improved things over there.
There's been a lot of improvement. One of the things that, that I had Eli do, he's with Seaford Plumbing, if you don't know, is he basically adjusted all the sewer pipes or you know pipes from the restrooms. That has made a significant difference.
Right.
With the toilets getting plugged up, that has made a significant difference. It's really gone down. Very very. Up on wood, I haven't had a plugged up toilet in about a week.
That's great.
Wow, that's great.
Which is really good.
Should knock on porcelain.
Well, it's all stainless steel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
But but there is the typical. I don't understand this quite on very well, but you know when you're at home and you use the restroom, you may use like 10 or 15 sheets of paper. I think they think they're at a yardage shop because they kind of do just about three times. And if it's not flushed down, it's put in the waste cans. We're still going through a dozen rolls of paper a week easily.
So this is just a little bit off of what exactly you're saying, but I know that in the past, Shannon had some issues with people not flushing toilet paper. not because the toilets were stocked up, but because in other countries there are different customs than what there is in the United States. And if you come from a country that does not have the kind of plumbing that we have, then what is actually customary is to throw toilet paper into the trash. So I believe that Shannon addressed that a couple of years ago. I think they put up a sign during the winter season. I think it was only really an issue during snow blares. But just a heads up that that has been an issue, and we do have...
Well, we have a waste disposal unit near every toilet.
That's why. Or that they had to put extra trash cans in for that reason.
Well, that's one of the reasons. And I remember speaking with Leo here at our last meeting about the a sign that he has over at his facility, and I'd like to...
I'll send you a picture of it.
Yeah, probably something like that would be good. Also, all the leaks inside the building here have been taken care of. There's still one leak out there. There's just a very archaic couple of valves on the women's side of the restroom. That Eli has taken apart and gotten the parts numbers. I need to get back with him probably tomorrow.
Is that the acorn stuff on the
acorn stuff?
Okay, on that one wall there.
Yeah, on that one wall. And I've adjusted the sinks down on the men's side so they don't, you don't need to be a marathon swimmer to wash your hands. Because those were really hitting hard, but that's been adjusted.
So there's been some improvement over there, and my question is still, do we have somebody from the water company has come out and said, yeah, we don't see any leaks as I'm,
correct.
I don't know if we've gotten the, okay, so we think that we've nailed all the leaks, or?
I think that other than that acorn, we need to see what's happening. Hopefully this week, well, not hopefully, I know this week, the sprinkler systems will be adjusted. And that's going to save us some water and some money as well. Because the other day I was walking in the park and it was like, I don't know, close to 9 o'clock. And up here at the Veterans Park, this whole section just lit up with water. And I watched it for about 5 minutes and I'm going, God, when is it going to turn off?
Do we have
last
year's numbers, Al, on this, on the amount of water usage and the bill?
And the water bill.
I believe I have those.
And I just like to know where we stand on that.
The water bill, I think it compares to last year.
It does? They were spending that much last year, really?
No,
it shows you on the bill, your comparison.
Oh, I see.
But also, I remember asking, I can't think of her name now,
Jim.
The lady is over there at Golden State, and she gave me a printout of like the last year.
Okay, because it's like we don't find out until 30 days later. Got another $800 bill.
$800.
I guess we got to do something. I mean,
right.
How do we head this off before we have to wait another month?
Yeah.
Well, she said that she'd send somebody out, and
okay.
When I asked her for, if they found it, I think she said no.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to see the next bill. Okay.
So that's pretty much my answers.
Okay.
I'm going to stick to them.
Okay. Thank you, Al. Yes.
Glenn Goldstein.
Yes.
I would once again like to reiterate, I said this twice, it's the third time, even if not a water audit, irrigation water audit, which on a football field or something like that saves hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on a real stadium. And if it can be done here, there's things that to just somebody looking at it that they wouldn't see, or even if they saw it, it wouldn't really affect their understanding of it. Like it's called shattering of droplets. If it's too much pressure and you're sending a lot of it into space, there's a whole lot of different parts of that. So, as I said before, even a head that's off, 8 or 10 degrees from flush makes a lot of difference through the year. These little things that, what looks to be very simple and common. Oh, water's going, so it's got to be hitting someplace. That's not really true. So I think a water audit, this is my last reiteration on this, would be a wise thing to do. It can save a lot of money.
Are you capable of doing that audit?
I was asked that before. I could do a possible unofficial one, but I'm not going to do it.
Well, maybe you and I can get together.
Yeah, we can get together and do it. Okay, we could do that. Okay.
It just seems like there's a lot of low-hanging fruit on that. You know, once we nail down the leaks, you know, it seems like that should get much better, but I'm just not confident that we don't have a leak that's going off somewhere. You know, because, I mean, the water bill is grossly over. I mean, it's $800.
What looks to be a small leak is thousands of gallons through a year.
Yeah.
You know, what looks to be almost nothing. And the same thing goes with irrigation. If you're irrigating and the water through the soil, through the horizons as it goes down, isn't really the right amount. And there's a lot of different things.
Well, we would appreciate your expertise, really. That would be great.
I'm supposed to be retired.
Okay. Well, you shouldn't have come to the meeting. There's all volunteers here, you know. So.
Anybody who goes to the microphone, volunteers.
Right.
You won't be coming yet.
Yeah, you won't be coming to
somehow. Thank you, doesn't say.
Thank you, though.
Yeah. Okay. Future board meetings and agenda items.
I just have one question for Al. The graffiti was over here on this community, on the building right over here, right?
And on the bank over there as well.
Do we have cameras that we could contribute any footage to the police? No.
Well,
it doesn't reach that area.
What about the one that's right out here?
It does. It's pretty far away for that one, but I think we should review the footage.
Wouldn't they have potentially walked through
that? That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, the bathrooms are here, and
we should review the footage. It's not great. They're not great. I'll say that.
I would say
unlikely, but
worth a shot taking a look if Shannon or you all are able to do that.
Yeah. I can help you out. Come over and take a look.
I'm very concerned about this happening again, especially because they tagged on people's cars as well. So,
really?
Yeah, there was a photo in the car that was parked right the apartment complex behind the mini mart. There's apartments back there. And
somebody knows.
Someone wrote on the window of someone's car. So
you could give that directly to Deputy Molly.
Yes.
Okay.
She's the one who took the report, and she doesn't expect you to go through it first. She'll look at it.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we can do a quick view of that thing and see what we can get out of it.
Monday morning, that time.
That's when it was, Monday morning?
Well, Sunday night, Monday morning.
Sunday night, Monday morning.
Covered on Monday.
Okay. All right. So future board meetings and agenda items. We've already said we're going to have our next meeting on October 3rd, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tuesday at 7?
Yes.
And we'll form up the agenda items for that between now and then.
Mm-hmm. And make sure the budget's on there.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask about the one town proposal. Can we consider taking one program, two programs, three? Can we separate them?
They never said yes or no.
Okay.
It looks like we could. I mean, we could go. Could
you inquire?
Could you ask them?
That would be good to know.
Okay.
Yeah, we have the ad hoc.
I'm saying it might be worth considering, you know, accepting one instead of three or two.
Sure.
Yeah.
Will you send me the contact information?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. If there's nothing else, the meeting is adjourned.